We come to be opened by visions that can enlist us in larger causes and more caring actions. So may the warm of fullness that we seek fill our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Kia ora tātou. Welcome to St Andrews on the Terrace on this anniversary weekend. And the way the weather has been going this week, we can't guarantee it will be the same when you leave the church as it was when you came in. Special welcome to those who are visiting. We are glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us this morning. And we invite you to join us for morning tea and coffee at the back of the church at the end of the service. Let us pray. We are called into community with each other. We are called into community with all people. We're called into community with the whole creation.
To live in
harmony, to cherish, and renew. For our community gathered here, for the Spirit that called us together and drew us to this place.
Yes.
For moments we have shared with others, for times we have reached out across barriers of distance and fear, for times when others have reached out to us.
Yes.
For our weaving together out of many separate selves, this hour of celebration and reflection, this community of faith and hope, and we say the version of the Jesus prayer on the laminated card. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. I need a volunteer to light the ring candle. A volunteer or a conscript? Margaret, you're it. We light the rainbow candle as a symbol that all are welcome in this place. When I snap my fingers, you're all going to become children. Nearly 20 years ago, Maxine and I had a holiday in Canada for a week or so. And we were in Quebec. And we were on a bus tour, and so there was side tours. And one of them, we went to a waterfall, magnificent waterfall, which they told us, and they showed us the photo, that in winter freezes. So you've got this great waterfall, all ice, solid ice. It was summertime, so we didn't see that. But also as part of the tour, we went to a reserve for one of the indigenous groups of people. And we saw how they lived, and they told us about some of their customs, their music, and their dress. And then they told us a story. Do you know what this is? Yes? One, two, three. It's a dream catcher. And the man who was telling the story said that some of the children have very bad dreams. And when that happens, they hang this above the bed. And they catch the dreams. And in the morning, they go in, and the child has been telling them about these bad dreams, and they just take it and drop it in the fire. And the bad dream is gone. And it works. I wondered, why can't we do the same with good dreams and keep them in a treasure chest where we can drop them in and then take them out when we need to, when we need a bit of inspiration or. Now, can you see what this one is? Can you? What is it?
It's lovely mountains and hills.
That's lovely. Mm. Who, Can you see the mountains and the streams? Is there a stream there too? Yeah. And it talks of peace and quiet. Now this one is one of mine. Can you see it? It's me playing the organ. And I'm playing so well that everybody thinks it's Peter. I have a dream. So, think about your dreams and what they mean to you. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Now, I think it's that point where we pass the peace. Peace to you. Peace. Peace to you.
Good dreams.
Gavin, peace. Peace to you. Peace. How are you?
Good dreams.
Peace to you. You had a good trip to Dunedin.
We did. That was a nucleus.
Recognizes this. If I open it, and if I open, no, it's the 1927 edition, the revised church hymnary of 1927, the music edition. And you'll notice the front part contains, it's a psalter, and contains all the psalms and all the music, and it's split pages, so you can have different tunes if you want to, so the same. You have to choose your piece of music. Yeah. And right in the middle, at the end of the psalms, and before you get into the hymns, there's a section called, I heard it over there somewhere. Paraphrases. Where they used to sing are paraphrases of the scriptures. And some of them are pretty awful. There's one in particular where the poetry, the rhyming part of the poetry is in the middle of the line. And try reading that. But there are some that still are singable, I think. And so this morning, just a little bit of nostalgia, we're going to sing a paraphrase. It's from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and it's printed in the order of service.
The New Testament reading is from Romans 13, verses 8 to 10, love for one another. No one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And the gospel reading is from Mark 1, verses 14 to 20, the calling of the first disciples. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for the people. At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. In the contemporary reading by Norman Shanks, a countercultural vision and an eagerness to celebrate. The church vocation in each and every locality is to be worshipping, healing, learning, serving community, faithfully living by the values of the kingdom, modelling and embodying a countercultural vision, looking and reaching out beyond itself with a wider vision, to discover the light and love of God, in engagement with the life of the world, standing up and speaking out against all that diminishes and disempowers humanity. In doing so, it will dream and explore. It will open, flexible, and ready to take risks. It will be generous, hospitable, and ready to celebrate. It will not be a ghetto, but keen to cooperate and engage. It will be a transforming community, influencing others for good, and being transformed itself in the process. It will be resilient, persistent, however hard the way, and it will be marked by joy and eagerness to celebrate. For the word in scripture and story, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
It's been an interesting week, with a variety of things happening. For me anyway, and I guess for you, but probably different things. When a few weeks ago I started to think about what I might do this morning, I looked first at the gospel reading and saw that it was the call of the disciples. And then I remembered Karl Barth, who said, you should preach with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. And so I began to think about this last week. And Monday was a particular day. Not in New Zealand, but in the United States. It was Martin Luther King Day, last Monday. And Tuesday was the 62nd anniversary of my arrival in New Zealand. And this weekend is anniversary weekend. And so keeping those things in mind, I'm inviting you to come for a wander with me through some of these things, some of these ideas, some of these events and places. A number of years ago, Max and I were in Melbourne, and we went to church there, and the preacher was a young American woman, who was also a psychologist. And she told us, and I had no idea at that stage, that in fact that Sunday was the Sunday before Martin Luther King Day in the United States. And she picked up the theme of I Have a Dream and talked about the importance of dreams for us. A few weeks ago, I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, and Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, not I have a plan. And the response was, but we need plans. And I thought, yeah, we do. But I think in the last few decades in New Zealand, we have had a gutsful of plans that haven't been deeply rooted in dreams and vision. Nothing happens unless first we dream. We had, if you go to the Bible, there's a lot about dreams in the Bible. I don't know if you remember Jacob, after he had swindled his brother out of the birthright and had to run away, stopped overnight and lay down to sleep. And he put his head on a rock or a stone as a pillow. And instead of being filled with guilt and unease, he had this wonderful dream of angels going up and down the ladder. You know, have you ever sung We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder? That, in a sense, allowed him to go on and lead the kind of life that he did. There was a sense of freedom that somehow out of that dream he got courage. It didn't change him too much, but that change comes at the end of his life, as you know. His son, Joseph, was a bit of a dreamer too. But he could go a step further and he could interpret dreams. Remember how the stories of Jacob interpreting Pharaoh's dreams about fat animals and thin animals and good wheat and bad wheat. Dreams were a kind of integral part of life in biblical times. They take a different form later on, more of vision. Ezekiel had this vision of the valley of dry bones, you know, them bones, them bones, them dry bones. But it was a vision of the restoration and resurrection of a broken and shattered Israel. It was a great dream. Mary had a dream when she got told what was going to happen to her. And Joseph had two dreams. One about what was going to happen to Mary, and then later after Jesus was born, he had the dream that says, get the kid and your wife out of it and take them to Egypt because you're in trouble with Herod. And later, Jesus has a dream. Well, he connects with a dream. It was an old dream that came out of the book of the prophet Isaiah. And remember when he went into the synagogue and he opened the book and he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And on it goes. Came from Old Testament Isaiah. A dream, a vision of hope for the future. And so we have dreams. And I wonder what you dream about. It seems to me we use the word in a variety of different ways. There's the dreams that we have while we are asleep, and the dreams that wake us sweating, and the dreams that wake us feeling good. But there's also the kind of dream that we think about. And sometimes we think about it with others, and we get into the whole idea of a vision for something, something large. The gospel reading this morning, the call of the disciples, I'm really wondering if there's not a bit more to it than just Jesus saying to people, come with me. Jesus had been around, and he had been preaching before this, and he was known. And I reckon that those fishermen who had a hard life, I mean, just think, sometimes you didn't make a catch, sometimes you did, and if you made a big catch, what did you do with it? There was no refrigeration, limited sales in terms of distance. You couldn't put it on the train and send it to Jerusalem. People had a hard life in occupied territory, and always underlining that, there was the hope that something would change, something new would happen, that a new life would come to them. And Jesus talked about the coming of the kingdom. And I reckon those fishermen and other people heard that, and it resonated. And when he came and said, follow me, they clicked and they went. I think it came out of that connection between their own need and the vision that he was holding up. It's anniversary weekend. And we remember all those people who took the risk, and it was risky, to set sail to come for a new life in the Antipodes, the ends of the earth. You couldn't come any further. And I'm sure that for most of them, they came with a dream, a hope of a new life, a better life, a quality of life. In a month's time, we'll remember those who founded this congregation came at the same time with a vision of a new way of living and being here in New Zealand. My parents also had a dream. And when we arrived 62 years ago, within a year, they had set about fulfilling their dream. And their dream was to have a warm, clean, safe home. It doesn't seem much of a dream now for us. But it's interesting, it is a dream for a lot of people in New Zealand. When they got married, they had to stay in one room with my grandmother. And then they moved to one room in another house. And then they got a bed sitting room that had a kitchen and an inside toilet. The only problem was that the building had been condemned as unfit for human habitation. And we lived there for 7 years before going back to my grandmother's. So you can perhaps understand why the vision and the dream of a dry, warm, safe house was important to them. Of course, for people coming, dreams weren't always fulfilled. Martin Luther King discovered that. Jesus discovered that in terms of their own lives. But the interesting thing is that while they didn't survive, the dream survived. And so it's about us dreaming. I have a dream, you have a dream, but what do we do about it? And sometimes it's about talking with others. And I came across someone's dream last year, Norman Shanks. And I put it in the order of service because I wanted you to have it to take away. And it's a dream about what the church can be. And I think it's a pretty good dream, and I think many of us here would raise our hands to support it. I just want to read the last part. In so doing, it will dream and explore. Dream and explore. It will be open and flexible and ready to take risks. It will be generous, hospitable and ready to celebrate. It will not be a ghetto, but keen to cooperate and engage. It will be a transforming community, influencing others for good and being transformed itself in the process. It will be resilient and persistent, however hard the way, and it will be marked by joy and an eagerness to celebrate. And I felt warm as I read that, because it's a little bit of a description of what I experience here in this community. Doesn't mean we can't do better. But let's recognize that we are a community that has a dream and that we're working to make that dream possible. So, on this anniversary day, when we remember those who've travelled across the sea, when we remember Martin Luther King, when we remember those people who upped stakes and followed Jesus, keep on dreaming. You have a right to dream. Indeed, you have a responsibility to dream. Let's celebrate those who dream. The litany is in order of service. How beautiful are the feet of those who walk with a sense of purpose and reality, who walk unafraid to be challenged and to change, who walk with an understanding of people and an open face, who have the courage to tread unknown paths. How beautiful are the lips of those who speak aloud the message of justice, who question deeply why poverty exists and why there are poor, who dare to choose imagination and live creatively our universal partnership. How beautiful are the feet of those who have the courage to walk through darkness, asking questions about human rights, who are to be compassionate leaders, inclusive of the poor and understanding of them, who are willing to enter into humble partnership. How beautiful are the lips of those who proclaim aloud that we must never hesitate to amplify the voice of those who go unheard, who recognize the deafness in our land, the sound of all our people who are dispossessed, who celebrate the goodness of the human person in every race and color and walk of life. How beautiful are the feet of those who walk in compassionate love, whose way proclaims a spirituality of action, who walk a partnership of justice, peace, love, and friendship, who know that every step we take is holy, who celebrate the goodness of the human person to every race and color and walk of life. Offerings will now be received for the work that enables us to keep the dream fresh.
For the gifts we receive and the gifts we share,
we give thanks.
For the abundant universe with resources enough and to spare,
we give thanks.
May our offerings of money and food, compassion and goodwill be multiplied to those who receive them.
It's sharing time if there's any notices.
Good morning, I'm Rosemary Lawrence. I'm a member of this community. Now, you may have seen in the bulletin, in your bulletin, that the duty roster for March to May is being drawn up. So I'm standing here to remind you how important it is for you volunteers, dear people, to let the office know if you are going to be away from Wellington during that time. We have a new staff member, Office Administrator Jolene Everett, and she's still learning the ropes about how we do things, and we have a computer program called Smart Roster, which is still not operating on a smart level, so things have to be done manually. So a big thank you, a heartfelt thank you to the volunteers who generously agreed to fill in the holes that appeared in January and February. Roster Rosie has been quite busy, spending a lot of time ringing round, and she is not best pleased. I say that with a rueful look, using...
Well, go so, and read the paraphrase again.
So do take the time to advise the office if you know you're going to be away, especially when the roster is being drawn up, and that saves the swappies, and it saves holes, which have to be filled. And as always, a very big thank you to those who volunteer to do these duties. Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks today for this community and for all who have had dreams for it and worked hard to make them a reality. We think too of all the secular communities we are a part of or encounter in our day-to-day lives, in our residential areas, our workplaces, sports clubs, cultural groups, educational institutions, and other communities of interest. Help us be more conscious of all the intersecting circles of community that surround us in this large, ever-changing world. May we cherish our connections with different people and the richness they bring to our lives at different times and in different places. And may we always tread softly when we tread on their dreams. In the words of Norman Shanks, may we here at St. Andrews continue to be a worshipping, healing, learning, and serving community, helping others to dream and to experience the light and love of God in their lives. Help us too to be more welcoming to those on the outside looking in at our community and more sure of when to reach out and encourage people in, or perhaps hold back and respect their desire for privacy. We think of all the people feeling isolated from any sense of community through unemployment, displacement, disability, prejudice, mental health problems, family conflict or loneliness. May we all play our part in helping them make meaningful connections with others in the overlapping circles of our spiritual and secular lives. And most of all, may we be a transforming community, dreaming and exploring, influencing others for good and being transformed ourselves in the process. In our circle of prayer today, we think of the people of China and the China Christian Council. Here in New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament. And today we name Tim McIndoe, National Party, Hamilton West, and Mahuta Nainaia, Labour Party, Hauraki Waikato electorate MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Tamatea Community Church. And we pray with those who have written in the book. For my brother Colin, who has just had a bypass operation in Cleveland Hospital, Ohio, and is making good progress. As always, we close with the prayer for St. Andrews, which you'll find on the laminated card. If you come from another place, we invite you to join us, and if you wish,
Think of it as a prayer for your people and your place too. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
And so we move towards the end of our time together this morning, apart from that delicious tea and coffee that we have at the back of the church. And we are singing one of the favourite hymns, I think, of St. Andrew's, Draw the Circle Wide. And just notice that at the beginning of verse 3, you move to the outside to make a circle round the walls, and that we repeat the last verse in chorus. Okay? Right. May we be blessed with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may seek truth boldly and love deep within our hearts. May we be blessed with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may tirelessly work for justice, freedom, and peace among all people. May we be blessed with the gift of tears to shed with those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, or the loss of all that they cherish, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and transform their pain. May we be blessed with enough foolishness to believe that we really can make a difference in this world, so that we are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. Go now in the love of God and with the compassion of Jesus to dream impossible dreams and transform all that is in your care. Go in peace and joy to love and serve.